Good afternoon. This is the Thursday afternoon, February 16th session of the Portland City Council. Carla, could you please read the roll?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Udaly?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. Standard declaration regarding public conduct. Anybody who speaks who's a lobbyist, say so. If you're here representing an organization, say so. Please, everybody behave. That means everybody gets to be heard. When you speak, please state your name for the record. Clerk, could you please read the first item, the only item today?
Item 160, consider proposal of Willie Dean Ground Up Design Works for demolition review and the Bureau of Development Services staff and Portland Historic Landmarks Commission recommendation for denial for the demolition of a contributing garage in the Ladd's Addition Historic District at 1445 Southeast Division Street, LU16-270658DM.
All right, first the city attorney will make some comments regarding today's hearing.
Good afternoon. I have several guidelines to present that are required by state law. That will describe the type of hearing we're having today, the order of testimony, and some guidelines for presenting testimony. First, today's hearing is an evidentiary hearing, which means that if you're presenting testimony, you may present new evidence to the council in support of your testimony. In terms of the order of procedure, the council will hear testimony in the following order. First, a staff report by BDS staff for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, the City Council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The applicant will go first and will have 15 minutes to address the Council. After the applicant, the Council will hear from individuals or organizations who support the applicant's proposal. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak. If there are any opponents or organizations who oppose the applicant's proposal, the council will hear testimony from opponents for 3 minutes each. And if there was testimony in opposition, then the council will allow the applicant 5 minutes of rebuttal and then close the hearing and deliberate.
Great, thank you. First off,
I have one more.
There's more, very good.
There is more.
Sorry.
I'd like to announce several guidelines for presenting testimony to City Council today. Any letters or documents you wish to become part of the council record should be given to the council clerk. Similarly, the original of any or a copy of any slides, photographs, drawings, maps, videos, or other items you show to the council during your testimony, including PowerPoint presentations, should be given to the council clerk to make sure they become part of the record. You must direct your testimony to the approval criteria for this land use review. BDS staff will identify the appropriate approval criteria as part of their staff report to the council. You must raise any issues clearly enough for the council and the parties to have an opportunity to respond to the issues. If you don't, you'll be precluded from raising that issue on appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals. And finally, if the applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with enough specificity to allow the council to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court. That completes my opening statement.
Very good. Thank you. Do any members of the Portland City Council have any conflicts that they'd like to declare? There are no conflicts declared by the City Council. Do any members of the council have ex parte contacts to declare information gathered outside of this hearing that they'd like to disclose? There are no ex parte contacts or information gathered outside of this hearing on the part of the city council. Have any members of the council made any visits to the site involved in this matter? No city commissioner has made any visits to the site. Do council members have any other members that need to be discussed before we begin the hearing? Seeing none, we'll start with the staff report. You have 10 minutes, and please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Art Graves. So just to jump into it, the Type 4 demo review, kind of how we've gotten here, a pre-op conference, we had a notice. The site was posted. We had a historic landmarks meeting. Staff prepared recommendation from that, and then the hearing today. So A little bit of background on a Type 4 demolition review. In 2002, there was a resolution. In 2004, there was an ordinance. It essentially expanded and strengthened the city's demolition review regulations to protect more historic resources. Demolition review gives the public an opportunity to comment on the proposed demolition of a historic resource and allows opportunities for alternatives to demolition to be explored. The City Council will review the proposal, hold a public hearing, and either approve with conditions, or deny the demolition of the resource. So some precedents, just to provide some background. In 2010, the Kernan Building proposed a demolition of a contributing one-story commercial building in New Japantown, Chinatown Historic District to be replaced with a four-story Blanchett House of Hospitality on the same footprint. City Council noted that the new proposed facility encompassing low-income housing, a soup kitchen, and other related services is the highest and best use of the site. And so, feeling that the proposal on balance met the majority of the approval criteria, it was approved. In 2014, the Buck Prager Building proposed the demolition of an eighth block, three-story former hospital building in the Alphabet Historic District to be replaced with a four- to six-story building, apartment building. This was denied. City Council noted that a new market-rate apartment building did not provide a significant public benefit to compensate for the loss of the historic resource. So again, on balance, they felt it didn't meet the approval criteria. In 2015, the Washington Park Reservoir proposed the demolition of Reservoir 3, 4 in the Weir Building to be replaced with a new underground reservoir with reflecting pools. This was approved. City Council recognized the impact of geological forces on the historic resources as well as the city's responsibility to provide the basic service of clean water, and that the mitigation proposed was comparable to the magnitude of the loss of the resources. And so, again, on balance, it was approved. In 2015, a different garage in the Ladd's Addition Historic District proposed demolition of a contributing garage to be replaced with a new garage with an upper-level dwelling unit. City Council recognized the garage was significantly deteriorated and of relatively little historic significance. In addition, the feeling was that the proposed replacement structure would help strengthen and enhance the character of the district. So again, on balance, the council feeling was that the majority of the approval criteria had been met. So approval criteria for a demolition review is found in Portland Zoning Code Title 33 in the 800 section, 846, and it states that demolition review recognizes that historic resources are irreplaceable assets that preserve our heritage, beautify the city, enhance civic identity, and promote economic vitality. The specific approval criteria are in 846.080, and it proposals to demolish a historic resource will be approved if the review body finds that one of the following approval criteria is met. So one, denial of a demolition permit would effectively deprive the owner of all reasonable economic use of the site. Or two, demolition of the resource has been evaluated against and on balance has been found supportive of the goals and policies of the comprehensive plan in any relevant area plans. And the evaluation criteria are listed below in A through 4, or A through F. A little bit about Ladd's. Ladd's Addition is a historic district. It was created in 1988. It was found to meet the following National Register listing criteria listed on the slide A through C. Of note in the historic districts, some of kind of the aesthetics, the design, age, scale, and mass of the buildings, the street and alley layouts, the location and placement, and relationship of the buildings to the streets and alleys. For instance, like the front large front lawns without driveways, garage locations on the alleys, and so on. The site we're talking about today is in the southwestern quadrant of Ladd's. It's the area in red. It's zoned R5, single dwelling, and obviously with an overlay of historic resource protection. The slide on the left is showing the Ladd's Historic District. The blue is showing contributing resources in the district. The yellow is showing non-contributing resources. The slide on the right is just trying to kind of dial in a little bit just to show the relationship of where the garage is in relationship to the house and kind of other amenities in the area, such as that large lot to the northwest of this site is the Abernathy Elementary School. The CS zone is a storefront commercial zone. To to the west, and then below that, out of the district, is a multi-dwelling zone. So this is the site outlined in red, and the arrow is pointing to the garage on the site. So again, the garage is on the north side of the site off the alley. So the specific site, this is the contributing house, 1923 house on the site, and the garage as it was photographed on January 25th last year by staff. Again, it's a 1923 garage and house. So the specific issue at hand, this is the image of the 1923 contributing garage approximately a year ago, and this is this was taken while it was going through a review, a historic resource review, to make alterations to the garage to become an ADU, accessory dwelling unit. And then these are pictures of the garage. They're dated September of 2006, when the garage had been demoed. 2016, sorry. So as part of the historic resource review, the land review, to convert the garage into an ADU, these next few images are showing the plans that were submitted for that approval. So the top is the existing plan, and then the proposed site plan showing the alterations to make it an ADU. These were submitted elevations of at the time, the existing contributing garage, and then proposed elevations. So applicant's response to the approval criteria, the original garage had significant structural problems, including a failing foundation that made the building a liability. Demolishing the garage and not redeveloping the area of the site would degrade the city's desired character of the area. Concerns that the dilapidated one-car garage does not constitute a significant historical resource. There is merit to the demolition, as is replacing a dilapidated structure with a living unit, and that the intention remains to build the approved ADU per the previously mentioned land use review. Staff's findings, the approved historic resource review decision provided for alterations to the contributing garage into an ADU while preserving the integrity of the original accessory structure and so avoiding the need for demolition of the garage. The approved ADU respects the historic character of the site and reinforces the district's alley garage character. Construction of the new ADU was possible without demolition, and no additional public benefit is achieved by the demolition of the garage beyond what is already approved. So in short, construction of the new ADU is possible without demolition. And I just note the final bullet point that Historic Landmark Commission wrote a letter supporting staff's recommendation of denial. This slide is just illustrating the goals and policies that staff feels are not applicable, met, or not met regarding the comprehensive plan goals. So again, in summary, because the alterations were fully accommodated within the previously approved historic resource review, demolition of the 1923 contributing resource was not necessary. And so on balance, the approval criteria is not met. In summary, potential paths moving forward, a denial of the proposed demolition following adoption of the staff report, the final decision would be issued, and the applicant would be able to move forward with the construction of the ADU per the previously approved land use decision. An alternate path would be if the City Council wanted to approve the demolition, then staff would be required to revise the staff report supporting demolition per the direction and subsequent findings from City Council. This would require a return to City Council, and a subnote on that, any new ADU proposal would require a new resource review as well. So in conclusion, the zoning code requirements for the demolition of certain contributing structures could be amended and or revised to allow for a lower level of review for demolition of accessory structures. To that, I would add BDS staff is always interacting with BPS staff to discuss areas of the code that need attention. However, we're aware that there's always a hierarchy of importance and urgency, and that some areas of the code have deserved and received more attention than others.
Mayor and colleagues, just maybe it's because I'm under the weather, but can we go back one slide? And I think that your presentation was excellent. I actually wish every issue that came to council, even outside of land use review, had a historical section to remind us what we've done in the past and how it all fits together. Would you just walk us through these options again and then just put it in the context of the fact that the structure has been demolished? So give us the practical impact of each of these options.
Okay. So starting with the denial at the top. So staff is recommending denial. So
structure's been demolished.
The structure's been demolished, but it's still on site. There are pieces of this, the garage on site. So the applicant intends to rebuild the garage using those pieces per the previously approved land use decision. So if denial, if City Council supports staff decision, then we can effectively move forward, and the applicant can continue, can build the garage per the land use decision.
I see.
Is it your belief that the applicant is going to support your recommendation for denial?
Absolutely, I do.
Okay, now I'm with you.
That's helpful.
Got it.
And the alternative, if we support the demolition, they just cut off whatever's there and make a different ADU?
Again, that would require another, if they were going to change what was previously approved, that would require another historic resource review thing.
And other than the inconvenience of coming downtown on a Thursday afternoon, is there any penalty for having demolished it first?
Sure.
Hillary Adam, Senior Planner, BDS. I work with Art. Currently, BDS has not levied any fines against the applicant. We encourage them to move forward with this Type 4 to go through the process that is required by code. So no fines have been assessed.
How much is the Type 4 appeal review?
Generally, it is rather expensive because a pre-application conference is required. Those run over $4,000. The Type 4 review is over $8,000. I believe that given the scale of the building that was demolished, they received a lower assessment of those fees.
There already has been some financial penalty, and certainly the hassle of having to go through this.
Yeah. And, you know, typically those fees are assessed due to, paper pushing, staff time, because we're a fee-based bureau.
Thank you.
Just if I could, so where you have a situation where you have the staff report and you have the applicant concurring, just so I'm clear, is one of the reasons we're holding this hearing is to gauge whether the public is in accord with that? And to give the public a chance to testify if there's some voice in the community that disagrees with the staff report and with the applicant's position?
I would say that's definitely one of the reasons, but the biggest reason is that it's required by code.
And
so that's what we heard at the end, was that probably we should change the code, that this could be heard by even at the administrative level or by the commission rather than the council.
I would urge that, and Commissioner Fritz has forgotten more about this than I know, but it would seem to me that in a case like this where you have a thoughtful staff recommendation, the applicant and concurring, and potentially the safety valve of a neighborhood association that does not oppose the relief, there ought to be an administrative mechanism that saves the applicant the cost and the staff the burden of bringing this forward to council. This is an excellent presentation, but I would agree. I would love to see an administrative remedy with an opt-out if there's, let's say, neighborhood of opposition or something.
After the previous Type 4 for the garage, there was conversation among City Council about changing that code and as quickly as possible, but those things take time.
Have you added to the recap?
No.
I don't
Not
think
this
that
one,
it,
but the next
yeah.
one.
We tried, but it seemed like too
Can
big
give
of
you
a
emergency
policy
authority?
Well, I would just point out, though, that just the fact that there's only been a few of these might be because there is that extra effort. So if we were to make it too easy, everybody would be knocking down their historical structures.
So since we're here and you've done such an excellent job presenting, can I just ask, it seems to me there might be an elephant in the room. I'll just pose it. having looked at the slide of the original garage, it looked kind of shabby to me, and it did not have the same character as the case we had before in that district. Is there an argument that we're over-regulating the structure?
I guess I would say
given its condition, given its location, given just the photograph that you gave us, is there a risk here that we're putting this applicant through too many hoops for a structure that maybe in the best of circumstances was going to be replaced?
I would generally agree with that, but the code does not distinguish between primary contributing structures and accessory contributing structures, so we have to apply the code equally. We can discuss with our higher-ups as to maybe looking at how we interpret the word demolition in the meantime.
That's a big one, too, though, isn't it?
I don't want to suggest we're going to drive a huge loophole through what is otherwise the intent here, but some of the things that you told us about the condition of the structure, the fact that the photograph confirmed it's not in great shape, the fact that the person wanted to, in a historically sensitive way, update it and then have an ADU, it seems to me there's a lot of the city's values that are being met by virtue of the action the applicant wants to take here, or the owner and the applicant. I would hate to be so inflexible that we require maintaining a not very distinguished structure that may work against the long-term viability of an ADU.
Well, except it was in part of the proposal, so that's gone through the historic resources review. Often with the older structures, once they've got new paint and incorporated into a sensitively designed new structure, it will indeed continue to be a contributing resource.
Right. And I get that we don't want to create an exception here that says unless your contractor inadvertently demolishes it, in which case we let you off the hook completely because someone might, without such pure motives, take advantage of that. But
the hearing what was just said that the applicant is supportive of our accepting
my guess is the applicant is supportive in part because of the burdens of going through the alternative process.
Let's find out. The applicant's up next and gets 15 minutes. Any other questions for this panel? If you could just state your name for the record.
My name's William Dean.
Great. You get 15 minutes if you need it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I need a full 15. Okay. I think most of what you guys were just discussing is pretty much the gist of it. So I'm the designer, and I went through the type 2 review and turned the plans over to a contractor that was going to build the project, and part of the project was to replace the foundation. And in doing so, the contractor misunderstood the intent of, the requirements behind preserve, because he felt that moving the small four walls and two roof panels 10 feet to the side to do the groundwork and then put them right back where they were was sufficient, a sufficient way to allow for the preservation. And, obviously that's what's gotten us into this situation to begin with. So the intent was never to demolish the structure in terms of to cart it away in a dumpster and build something brand new. It's a matter of the means that were executed do not conform with the current allowances for whether something is or isn't demolition. And so I'm here basically to represent my client we are interested in whatever possibility allows the project to get underway as quickly as possible. It's been an 8-month delay on the project already.
Great. And you support the hearings officer's recommendation?
I do.
What would the alternative relief that we have before us that would require you to redesign the thing, go through another hoop through historic review?
Yeah, I suppose that if you got...
You have no interest in doing that?
No, I don't. My client doesn't.
Great, thank you.
Okay.
Next up, any supporters of the applicant who would like to testify? We do take public testimony, but it has to be in order. So supporters?
No one signed up.
Jamie?
What? No, not today, Jamie. Opponents of the applicant?
No one signed up.
No one has signed up. Great. Council discussion. And I will, of course, I also need to say that, well, first of all, council discussion. I'll get to the next part later.
So I am a little concerned about establishing a precedent where you say a structure needs to be left intact, and then it's, I wouldn't call this a demolition, though. It's more of a deconstruction, right? But these circumstances seem a little extraordinary to me, where the intent to preserve the structure was there. I don't know how you would pour a foundation and leave the original structure in place. And obviously they've saved it. So, and it was a result of miscommunication with the contractor. So I feel pretty satisfied.
Any further discussion? At this point, the evidentiary record is now closed. That means the council is not going to accept any more oral or written testimony on the land use appeal. At this point, I would accept a motion if somebody would like to entertain one.
I move acceptance of the Portland Historic Landmarks Commission recommendation for denial.
Second.
Commissioner Fritz moves. Commissioner Fish seconds. Any further discussion?
Yes, I just want to say, because we won't have staff here for that, we're going to set a tentative date, but that was really a superb presentation on an issue that has a little wrinkle, so we appreciate that.
And they finished with 2 seconds left, which I always love to see. Thank you for that. Carla, please call the roll.
Mayor Wheeler, may I make clear, by the council voting to adopt the staff recommendation, you are making a final decision today, so
that is correct. That is correct.
All right.
Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Well, as usual, excellent work by the staff in Development Services and the Historic Landmarks Commission. This case has very much shown that there's some glitches in the code that still need to be figured out. I'm glad that we're not figuring them out on the fly here, but rather they'll be able to go through a proper process so that we can make things easier, but not too easy when these historic structures are considered. Thank you very much to the applicant for walking us through this and for your willingness to make this continue to contribute to the Lads Edition historic nature. Aye.
Fish.
This has been a very good discussion, and Mr. Dean, you can advise the owners after this hearing that if once this is constructed, they choose to move into the ADU as part of a downsizing, they will not be covered by the renter relocation ordinance that we passed within the last month. Thank you for a great hearing. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Daly.
Thank you. I.
Wheeler.
My view on this might have been different had a demolition been carried out. It was pretty obvious that there was not an intention here to demolish. It seems like it was, as Commissioner Udaly described, a miscommunication, a mistake. I therefore vote aye, and it is unanimous that the hearings officer's recommendation is upheld. This hearing is adjourned. The council session is now adjourned.
We need to set a date, or
no. This the council's voted to adopt the Landmarks Commission's recommendation as their decision.
Correct.
So we're done.
Carla, under this mayor, we've streamlined all that stuff.
We just, if we you just want to do it again, you can watch it on
video.
Good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Well, thank you too. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Going somewhere modern?
Listen.
I like this work meeting.
Oh, nice. Very nice.